Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, February the 14th, 2016.
As we get started this morning, would you please pray with me? Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, for the opportunity to be together and to open your word. We thank you for all that you're going to do in the service, for the various people that will be presenting and sharing what you've been doing in their lives. And I just thank you for the privilege we have of meeting together for that purpose. I do pray for the various issues we have with audio and visual, that that will not be in any way a distraction to all that will be done today, and that your hand will be in all of that. And as a result, we will praise and glorify you. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get started this morning, it's my privilege to introduce to you Rodney and Carol Woods. Many of you know them and may be familiar with the opportunities that God's given them over recent years. But they're going to give us those details, and I will turn it over to them.
I'm going to be good. I have actually waited 32 years to be able to have the morning service. And here we are. Brevity is not my strong suit, but it is definitely a goal today. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and get started. Kosovo and that project over there is a project that just really I'm passionate about. Kosovo is a Muslim country, and it was a part of the former Yugoslavian Republic. And when they broke away from when Yugoslavia broke up, Kosovo was left with a crippled economy. To add injury to injury, the economy was further crippled by the war with Serbia. That, in its intent, was a war that was designed for ethnic cleansing on part of Serbia perpetrated against Kosovo. Kosovo is in a very vulnerable position right now, being a Muslim country in Europe. And with a crippled economy, they have young people who have absolutely no hope. They see no hope for the future. And so therefore, many of them are fleeing to the Eastern European countries that are certainly richer. But as fast as they go, they're sent back. They're being sent back. The only other option that many of them see is being able to move or leave and go to Turkey and Syria, and you can read between the lines. So that adds further to the vulnerability of the country. About 20 years ago, shortly after the war, God sent a young widow as a missionary with her toddler to Kosovo. And that widow, by the grace of God, was able to make inroads in relationships with the widows who were left after the war. And the one thing that, or the one thread in the message that she received was, we want our children to be educated. And so therefore, being the dynamo that she is, Nadine Hennessy set out to start an English language program. That language program was of such an incredible caliber that it garnered the respect and the attention and even admiration of the local government. As a result of that, they gave, the government that is, gave to this missionary a few acres of land, prime real estate property. And so she set about building the Kosovo Leadership Academy. Now, that is a school that I've been involved with. Due to my background as a teacher and a principal and a consultant, I've been able to work with the teachers and with Nadine, and it's been an incredible experience. This was my fourth trip to Kosovo, and every time I go, I fall more and more in love, not just with the project or with the prospect of what it holds for the future, but with the people. And I just am so thankful for the opportunity to be able to do what I do. One of the things that the school itself is doing beyond teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic with the theme of science, technology, engineering, and math is being a hub of leadership training. And leadership training not just for the students and their families, but for the local government and business leaders within the community. And as a matter of fact, while we were there, one of the things that we were able to do was to facilitate a John Maxwell seminar, and a lot of community members were also involved in that. My job when I went was not only to attend a board meeting, but also to be able to observe in classrooms, give feedback to teachers, and provide professional development through coaching. Rodney?
One of the opportunities, the reason why I got involved was because a certain person behind me said that they needed help in strategy planning and some other things that, you know, normally I was doing with a lot of nonprofits here locally in the city. And, you know, God really placed in my heart, you know, and those nonprofits in the city, which I don't disparage them in any way, but it was one of those things that he actually said, you know, you're doing this for these nonprofits here. Why can't you do that for some of these mission organizations that could still use that very same skill set? And it hit me really hard that I asked God, I said, if I will resign from those nonprofits if it meant for me to really get over here and actually try to help another, the Coastal Leadership Academy. Now, I've been doing this through teleconference and everything else, and then Carol basically said, you know, you need to at least go there one time. How can you sit on a board and not, you know, see the school and everything else? And that is probably, I knew what she was doing. When I got there, it happened. You know, I got around these kids, you know, all from sixth to ninth graders, and just to see what had happened to them and losing their fathers in the war, orphaned and everything else, but the excitement in their eyes to know that they're learning something, but also they're being attracted because they've never experienced the love of Christ in a school. And so when you walk away from that, you can only just feel God moving in such a way at a country whose average age is about 35, totally disillusioned, and being able to walk in that downtown area, across the bridge which started this entire war, for ethnic cleansing, and you see these people starving to know and find hope. And how can you not say, I'm going to commit myself to help? And so Carol and I had decided that, you know, with the time that we have remaining here on earth, that we were going to give our skills, the talents, and abilities to help this country, literally help this country, get themselves back on track. And God has planted in that location through Nadine a seed of kids who firmly believe that they can turn that country around. And if I should have recorded it, because there was one student that asked me, as a chairman of the board, says, as a chairman of our school board, what do you expect from us? What do you expect from us? Now, these are sixth and ninth graders who every last one of them have mission statements for their life posted in the hallway. And I told her that God expects you to take this country back for God. And I want you to pray along with us that God will take this country, as young as it is, over 2 million people who need to hear about Jesus Christ. And the seeds are sitting right there in the Kosovo Leadership Academy. And God has literally placed us in a position undeserving. I'm humbled at the fact that I'm actually going there and helping the country. Every time I think about it, I shudder that I'm going to be held responsible for everything that I do. I welcome it, but I'm also in fear. And Carol and I pray for this country. We pray for these people. They need science and math teachers. They need professionals, you know, engineers like myself, scientists, artists, everything else who know the Lord, to come over there and actually start training these kids to know how to use their skills. They also need protection. And one of the things that I did not think I would have to do as an engineer is to walk into a brand new building in phase one. At the end of all phases, it'll be able to house 450 students. Right now, we'll house 26 of them. But to walk in that entire campus and have to think about if they were ever under attack, are these kids vulnerable? And then offer them suggestions about, you need to change some of this stuff around because there's too much vulnerability. But God never does anything by happenstance. And a lot of times when I think about my background as an engineer and business and everything else, I wonder, what are you going to do with my life, God? And here I am in a country that I never knew existed. And to walk around and God says, this is why I gifted you this way. And I am praying that God would use us, you know, Carol and I, but also this church, from a prayer perspective to help make an impact on this country. So pray for us. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the administration. Pray for Nadine. And pray for that country. Turkey has invested a lot of money in this country and built a lot of mosques. But the people are at a moderate level, and they basically are trying to resist a lot of the things that are coming on from a militant perspective. But the opportunity door is wide open. They're searching. So we really need your prayer and that God would continue to open up the doors and give us opportunity to really reach this country for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity.
Wow, that's special. We're going to pray. God, thank you for Rodney and Carol and just their open heart and desire to follow you in your leading in this. And wherever that takes them from this point on, we pray that you would just give them clarity in their direction and wisdom in how they counsel these folks there in Kosovo. We thank you for that country and the people. We know you love them and you care about them. And so as they've shared that they want to try to rebuild and encourage them to rebuild based upon your principles and your word, we pray to that end that you would give them the boldness just to keep on preparing hearts for you, especially in these young lives. For we pray these things in your name. Amen. Wow, what a testimony. What a way to start off the service. And we're going to sing, How Can I Keep From Singing Your Praise? And how can we help? After a testimony like that, how can we help but praise God? Would you stand with me as we sing?
I can sing with my life.
Father, we thank you that the cross is set there before us. And we know that because of the cross and what you did for us there in your resurrection, that we can go and tell. So we're thankful for that this morning, and we're reminded of what we're going to be hearing later on in the sermon, Lord, of going and the opportunity that we have to share the gospel. Please encourage and challenge our hearts today. For it's in your name we pray, amen.
As we continue in our Gather, Grow, Go series, we're entering into the go portion of that, or kind of in our second week of that, actually. And there's really no better way to start talking about going, about this go portion of our mission, than to hear from people who are doing that vocationally. And part of what we do here as a part of our go strategy is to send and support missionaries around the world. And we've got today Terry Broyles and his family are here with us from Brazil. They're going to be in the area. Area, or at least in the States, for about 7 months, and we get to be right there toward the beginning of their trip, which is really exciting. So I just wanted you all to welcome Terry Broyles as he comes to share with us.
Bom dia, or good morning. In Portuguese would be good morning. It's great to be here this morning. We thank you so much for being a part of our ministry there in Brazil. We wouldn't be there without good churches like you all that are behind us and sending us out, praying for us and supporting us. Thank you so much. If I had one thing to say, it would be that this morning. Thank you so much. I want to just share, you'll see our DVD presentation just in a few minutes. And I just want to add one illustration to that of how God has been good to us. You'll see the family in that as well. But I want to give you just an illustration that I could share, a number of illustrations of what God has done. He has been so good to us and using us there in Brazil. Our main emphasis would be making disciples. As we got back this last term, the pastor asked us if we would work with him at Jundiaí before we moved on and started another ministry to help an evangelistic thrust. Get started, and so we did that, and started working at starting evangelistic Bible studies. And I remember running in a grocery store, and I ran into a guy that I hadn't seen in a long time, didn't remember his name, but I stuck my hand out, shook his hand, and I said, "I know you from somewhere. Where did we meet?" He said, "I used to work at the hardware up here and used to buy things." And I said, "That's right." He told me his name, and I said, "Great to see you, Thiago." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm cutting hair." He said, "I went to a barber school, and I've got a shop over across town." And I said, "Great, maybe I'll come over sometime." He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm teaching the Bible." I said, "The Bible's an amazing book. You ought to study with me sometime." He said, "Maybe I will." And so he told me where his shop was, gave me the address, and I got to thinking, you know, that's a pretty rough section of town. I don't know if I want to get a haircut there or not. It might not be too good. But I thought, you know, I've got some boys. So I got a boy and took him with me and got him a haircut. But I gave him most of his haircuts at that time. I thought if it doesn't look too good, I'll just kind of buzz it off and smooth it over. It was his first haircut. But we started a study there that day, and Thiago, to make a long story short, he had studied with Jehovah's Witness, completed a course with them. He had spent time with Mormons. His mother, over 25 years, had been in a Spiritist group. He grew up in a Catholic background, and he was reading a book by Ellen White. I mean, he had religion. But so lost. Started meeting with him. I'd go there and be there the first thing in the morning, so hopefully no one would be at his shop. And we'd study the Bible together. And he would ask me question after question. Many times I'd say, "Thiago, let me answer one question, and then we'll move to another one." And this went on for a year and a half. And finally, the man got saved. And I believe a true salvation decision. And we continued to study the Bible and disciple him. The week before I left, Thiago came to me, brought me a nice pen as a present. He said, I want to give you this, and I want to thank you for not giving up on me and sticking with it and having patience and giving me the gospel. He said, I'm on my way to heaven because of that. Later in the week, his wife came to me and basically said the same thing and said, thank you. His daughter, his teenage daughter, came to me, I believe, three times during that first week, that last week, and cried and thanked me for bringing the gospel to them. You sent the gospel there. Thank you so much for being a part of that. We want to thank you as you all are a church that stands out as an example in missions. Thank you so much. May God richly bless you. Pray for us that God will use us in this new city we're going to, Porto Feliz, or Happy Port, that God will use us to reach many Chiagos and other people there with the gospel. Thank you so much.
Greetings to you, our co-laborers serving with us in Brazil. We want to express great appreciation for your prayer and financial support for our family and ministry. As soon as we arrived in Brazil this last term, the pastor of the Jundiaí Church asked us to consider leading an evangelistic thrust before beginning a new ministry. We prayed and believed God was directing us to do so. It was amazing what happened next. Evangelistic Bible studies began to open up quickly. Soon, Terry was teaching 12 weekly Bible studies. 10 were evangelistic and 2 were discipleship. Then we began to encourage other leaders in the Jundiaí Church to teach some of these studies while initiating new ones.
The Lord used our whole family in various ministries this term. Lydia, teaching, piano, outreach, nursing home ministry, producing music for churches in Brazil. And since their marriage, Lydia and Thiago have spent much time in evangelism. Benjamin, discipleships, evangelism, teaching, choir director, translating for visiting preachers and evangelists, and deaf ministry. Elizabeth, very involved in music ministry, piano, violin, and helped with the vocal CD, choir, and taught children. Josiah, taught children's church, sang in the choir, and was a big help in the construction in Port Feliz. Thomas, participated in children's choir, and started violin lessons. Wendy helped with evangelistic Bible studies, taught and discipled women, cared for her husband and children, played piano, sang in the choir, as well as many other things.
Next, we moved into initiating a deaf ministry in the Jundiaí Church. About 30 people took the beginner's course. 20 took the second and third level. 10 completed the fourth level. One man, Alberto, became passionate about the deaf ministry and has dedicated much of his time and energy to these needy people. He is from one of the Bible studies and is now a deacon who is leading the deaf ministry. We had deaf outreaches, visited other deaf churches, and endeavored to build a bridge to the deaf community. Pray for God to use Alberto and his family to reach deaf people for his glory. Stage 3 of our term, while still working in the Jundiaí Church, we teamed up with a Brazilian missionary couple, Pastor Lúcio and his family, to start a church in Porto Feliz, a city of approximately 50,000 people. Pastor Lúcio, a dedicated, hard-working man, is continuing construction of the new church building in this city. We are excited about ministering together in Porto Feliz, because the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There is a great need for the gospel to be clearly preached to individuals in this city. We have commuted back and forth made many visits, and started, taught several evangelistic Bible studies to initiate the work there.
We begin the visits by telling people we want to be a blessing to them and we'll be stopping by once a week for 4 weeks to ask for their prayer requests. As we visit each week and pray diligently for them and their requests, many times God opens their hearts to listen to His Word. On the fourth visit, we offer to do a Bible study in their home. We are looking forward to moving to Puerto Feliz so we can work full-time reaching unsaved people for our Lord. Pray for God to save souls, change lives, and establish a local church in Puerto Feliz. I believe it is a strategic time to preach the gospel to the people in Brazil while they are still open to listen. Look on the fields. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Not only in Porto Feliz, but around the world, the fields are whitened to harvest. You and I must go where God sends us and pray for more laborers as we go. Our great God can do more in 1 minute than we can do in a lifetime. So we beg of you to pray for us that He may use us to reach many souls with the good news. Also, please pray for God to send forth laborers into the world.
Amen. It's great work is happening in Brazil, and I just want to thank all of you guys for being here today. It really is an honor to have you. For all of us, they are going to be the Broyles. We'll be kind of right out these doors. They've got a table set up out there where they can be able to connect with many of you that they've met before, and then get to meet some new folks as well right after the service. I'm sure they'd love to get to connect with a lot of folks. Also, when we take the offering at the end of the service, all of the undesignated offerings are going to go to assisting the Broyles in their ministry as well. So we are really thankful to have y'all here and just praying that this is a blessing for you like it is for us to be here. And you know, missionaries that we send and that we support, like the Broyles and then like the Woods that we've sent out, and I know the Escuderos are going to be sharing with us a little bit and within a few weeks, I think, about their trip to Pennsylvania. That is all of that. That's a vital part of our church's role in fulfilling the Great Commission, what we've been given to do as a church. But for a lot of people, as we talk about go, I think for many of us, and not necessarily just here, but particularly just kind of the Western church in general, we've started thinking that sending others out is kind of what go is all about, or what the mission, the Great Commission, is all about. We think or we act as if, well, the way that the church, and I'm talking about the Big C church, the universal church, that the way that we fulfill the Great Commission is just by sending others. And it's kind of this consumer mentality that's found in a lot of people. And I'm not saying that that's prevalent here, but we do always want to be careful about those things. It's kind of like, you know, if you hire a maid to come and to clean your house for you so that you can go and take care of other things that you have to do. And that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's, you know, some people are good at those kind of things, and that's great. But it's not so good when we bring that idea into the way that we kind of conduct ourselves as a church. And it kind of comes across as this idea that you hire a pastor and you hire a staff to go and to kind of farm out all those various areas of ministry and the various responsibilities that we have within the church. Things like evangelism and visitation and taking care of buildings and training kids and so on and so on. And I've heard it before. I've heard kind of this phrase said straight to me. I've not heard it here, thankfully. But in recruiting volunteers and saying, you know, we need people to do this, I had a man come up to me at one point and say, well, that's what we hired you for. We get a little bit of a reaction to that phrase, but you'd be amazed at how often those kind of things come up. And that phrase is often a very solid indicator of a consumer mentality. It's that idea that you hire missionaries to take the gospel to the world and to serve and to care for others. And there are, I mean, the missionaries that we send out, that is, again, a vital part of our mission and the, fulfilling the Great Commission here as a church. And there are people who are gifted and sent for those particular things, and but it doesn't mean that we don't all have some kind of a role to play in fulfilling the Great Commission and this thing that we call go here. The Great Commission was given to the entire church. And again, that is the Big C Church, the universal church. And it's all believers for all time that receive that same Great Commission. And we're continuing today talking about that Great Commission because every part of gather, grow, and go is something that we're all supposed to engage in. It's not for certain individuals gifted in certain ways, although we do have gifting for a reason. But that's kind of the point of this series, is to give us a glimpse into what we're going to do as a church, how we're going to gather, grow, and go, how we're going to carry out the Great Commission, how we're going to equip everybody to take part in gather, grow, and go, and in the Great Commission. And we're continuing today with talking about the go part of that mission and that strategy, looking into why do we go. And as we talk about why do we go, we're going to start with that one little word in there, we. Just let's make sure we understand who we are. Why do we go? And then when we go, what do we do? And how do we do it? And of course, the why. And thankfully, as we look in with all of these questions, we're not left without good answers. God gave us this wonderful tool called the Bible. Some of us call it Scripture. It gives us all kinds of amazing answers as to what we're supposed to do as a church. Isn't that great? Surprise, surprise. Good things in there, right? So very thankful for that. But it's there. It's in God's Word that we see that we as a church and we as individuals within the church, we are ambassadors for Christ. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, and this is, if you want to call it my life verse, this is my favorite verse in Scripture. It says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." So, we're called to be ambassadors, but what is it? If we are ambassadors, what do ambassadors do? If you look up just kind of dictionary definitions for an ambassador, you see it's an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Or the second one here is a person who acts as a representative or promoter of a specified activity. Notice the common word in each of those is representative. An ambassador is a representative. It's someone who represents their nation, their industry, their sport, or whatever it is. Wherever they're sent, they represent that thing or that place or that person that sent them. Y'all get where I'm going with this? The United States has an ambassador to just about every country, if not every country. And their job is to represent the United States of America to that country, to take the message of the United States to the country to which they're sent. So in the eyes of the nation that they're sent to, that person is the United States. They completely represent it. And it's the same thing for believers. Y'all catch here that, okay, most of us here, if not all of us, are probably American citizens. You do understand that is not your primary allegiance and your primary citizenship. That as believers in Jesus Christ, we are citizens of a foreign kingdom, and we are aliens here. All of you have dual citizenship. Kind of fun, huh? And that one is primary. You are here as ambassadors. We're here to represent God's eternal kingdom and to bring His message wherever we're sent. And right now, you are sent to Chattanooga. Broyles, you are here from Brazil. You've been sent to Brazil. For how long are you here? Here in Chattanooga. Okay, till Tuesday. Until Tuesday, you're ambassadors to Chattanooga. All right? And so then they'll be moving on to somewhere else and taking the message wherever they go. And that message, which is very clear in this passage, is to be reconciled to God. See, the Bible's making this real clear for us, right? Be reconciled to God. Get right with God. That is the message that we are here to take to everybody. And the gospel is how that happens. People are only reconciled through Jesus Christ. So our job is to take that message to them. That because we are sinful, we are then separated from God. Our relationship with God is broken. And we as people, because we've broken it, we have no hope of restoring that relationship on our own. That's the message we take. And it gets worse because we deserve punishment for that. We deserve eternal punishment. We deserve hell for it. And again, there's nothing that we can do about it. I told you before about the guy I led to the Lord in East Asia sitting under a communist flag. And we got to this part where I'm sharing this. And I'm just using a tract at the time. And he snatched it from my hand because he just kind of, he gave me this look like, why are you even telling me this? You're kind of, I mean, this is a terrible story, but it gets better. Because the great part is that because God loves us and for his glory, Jesus became man. Fully God, but still fully man. And he lived perfectly, not deserving the penalty that we all do, but he took it anyway. He paid that penalty for us, and he died. But then he rose again from the dead so that at some point we can all do the same, be raised to eternal life with our Savior that we don't deserve. And all we have to do is trust in Jesus' salvation for that. And it's that simple of a message and that powerful of a message that we have been sent here to take to the world. So, ambassadors to McKee, ambassadors to Volkswagen, to TVA, to your, covers about half the church here, I think, to your schools, to your neighborhoods, to your families, that's your directive. If you didn't know it, that's it. We're given a very specific mission. We think about ambassadors. I mean, what if an ambassador for the U.S. just went to whatever country they were sent to? Because there's beautiful things in other countries, right? And so what if they just went there and they just got kind of consumed with just having fun and building wealth and enjoying the sights? It really wouldn't do any good for the United States. And really, they could even hurt the United States if they're out living in an immoral way or a way that's offensive to the country that they're in, but still makes us look bad somehow. We're given a very specific mission. But a lot of times, I think, and this is all of us, this is myself included, we get so easily distracted by the really fun sights and opportunities that this foreign land has to offer us. There are fun things here, and we can do those things, but sometimes we get excited about the thing itself rather than how that thing or that opportunity or that activity can be used for us as ambassadors. So what are ambassadors then supposed to do? Remember, we take a message. So we are ambassadors of Christ who gather, grow, and go. And we've covered the gather part. We did that over a couple of weeks, a few weeks ago, and we're going to get to the grow part of that next. And, you know, I hesitate sometimes to bring up movies because then you think it's an endorsement. This is not an endorsement, but there is a great line in the Blues Brothers movie, right? What is the main line in that movie, if you're willing to admit that you've seen it and love it? Yes, we're on a mission from God. Now, I need somebody from Illinois. I'm not going to call somebody up here, but I need somebody from Illinois. I know we've got a few of them that have that accent to give me kind of the, we're on a mission from God, right? And that's how they say it the whole time, but they're nailing it. Now, they're talking about saving an orphanage, and maybe that is the mission for some of you here, but we are all on a mission from God, and that is how we're intended to live. Go is carrying out the Great Commission. That's our mission, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, a lot of times we think of this passage as kind of a two-movement thing. Some people go out and they reach, and then some people go out and they teach. And so that's kind of our excuse to not do this, you know, baptizing, this making disciples part. But this is one movement, something that we as a church are called to do all together, that we recruit and we train. We go to do both of those things. Even though, okay, so the training part, that's kind of our, that's our grow. That's really what we're going to be talking about in grow. But each part of our mission, our strategy to gather, grow, and go, those things are completely connected. Each is connected to the others. So what are we supposed to train people to do? Because we go to train as well. Well, it says right in there, we go and we train them to observe Jesus' commands. And what did he command? See, again, the Bible makes this all really easy. He gave us the great commandments. Go is living out the great commandments, living those out in your own backyard and around the world. And those great commandments, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, he said to them, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God completely. Love him with all of your being, every bit of you, and love others as yourself. So how do we do that? How do we love God and then love others? And there's, the Bible is full of ways that we do this. We see how Jesus did this. In our series, the next series that we get into, we'll see a little bit of how Jesus loved on other people. But there's a passage in the Old Testament that I think nails it really well. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And he writes here, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? So we just ask the question, what is God requiring of us as we go? How do we do this? How do we love others? Well, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? So we love God by a few things here. It says walking in humility. The word there is sauna. Sauna, it's kind of, it sounds like you're being in a sauna, and I guess it could be comforting, but it means to be humble and to be modest and to be lowly. And it's kind of translated to walk humbly, or even it could be to walk carefully. To walk carefully with. What it basically means is that we walk in obedience. We walk in obedience to the Lord, recognizing God's position, that he is so much vastly higher than us, that we can't attain. And so because of who he is, and then because of who we are, especially in relationship to him, we submit. Because that's all that we can do, and we're humble. That's humility. Recognizing your position and recognizing God's. And he says, too, it's by faithfulness that we honor God, that we love God. Chesed, and it requires phlegm to say that properly. It's a loyal covenant love, typically translated, or a lot of times translated as loving kindness. We're talking about mercy. It's like God's love. It's never failing. It's always faithful, and it's merciful love. And it's completely undeserved. So we love God by showing mercy to others. And we love others, again, by showing that mercy, but we love them by giving them justice, by showing justice. And sometimes we'll think of the idea, okay, well, if we want to love by giving justice, that means that we go and just lower the boom on people who are out of line, right? No, 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 no. Because we're forgiving and we're gracious and remember that we are merciful, recognizing the mercy that we've received. When he talks about justice, it's this word mishpat, justice, to do justice in the sense of promoting justice. And here it's not referring mainly to people being judged, but it's something more like the idea of social justice. It's caring for others who are in need. It's ensuring that people are not treated in wrong ways. It's loving them. And as we get into this kind of election cycle right now, you're going to start hearing more and more about justice and about social justice. Because there are some then who want to go out and they want to regulate caring for others and say, this is how you will care for other people. And so you get this idea of taking from some to spread around to others, but that's not here what the Bible is calling us to do. Justice is not something, as we see in this passage, it's not something that's done out of guilt or out of force, but we show justice to others and we treat them justly out of love. And it's love for them. And it's love for the Lord. It's wanting the best. As I've told you, the definition of love is seeking the best for its object. So we love others. We seek the best for them and we show them mercy and we care for them. We're not trying to correct some kind of past societal sin, but we're being just now in the way that we treat them now, forgiving others and having compassion. And the people that we serve and that we care for, the people that we take the gospel to, listen, they don't deserve it. Neither do we, right? But we don't care for people and serve them and show them the gospel because they earn it. We do it because Jesus came to the outcast and to the poor. And we want to be like Christ. So I hope that's our goal. So out of love and compassion, that's why we serve them, out of love and compassion, not out of because we're forced to. We don't want to force anyone, and we're not doing it to earn anything. This is becoming grace. That's active love. And if we are not loving people, then we're not obeying the Lord. If we're not loving God, we're not obeying him. The tough thing about this is that we struggle with the flesh. So I can say all of these things and, hey, you're supposed to go and do this. And as Christians, oh, that's what we do, right? You guys are all getting this right already, right? No. We need something here. We can't do this great commission on our own. We can't do it by our own power. We are ambassadors for Christ who gather, grow, and go by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 is this so similar to, and really kind of a different snippet of the same thing as the Great Commission. It says, but you will receive power. You'll be able to go and do what I've told you to do when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. If you remember back to our Acts series, what did the disciples, all of the followers of Christ, what did they do until they received the Holy Spirit? They waited. They weren't going out with the Holy Spirit. Now, as believers in Christ, you already have him. There is no need to wait. If you look at Romans 8, among many other passages, but it talks about our relationship with and our need for the Holy Spirit. It says that he kills sin in our lives and enables us to grow to be like Christ because we can't do it on our own. Elsewhere in Scripture, we see that the truth of Scripture is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit applies Scripture to our lives. If you have come in here today, and I pray on my way in here every time that I preach and as I prepare messages and as I have my devotional time, I am praying for the Spirit to lead me in that time, to guide me and to apply these things to my heart. I hope and pray that you have that same prayer and that same expectation as you come in, that it's the Spirit that's working in you, not words that I say, but the Spirit, hopefully I pray, working through me and working in your heart as well. That he reveals Scripture to us and applies it to our lives and then corrects us. He gives us gifts to empower us to do what the Lord has called us to do in the first place and does so much more for us. And he produces fruit in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tell us about the fruit of the Spirit, that somebody led by the Spirit, they live out these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Living by the Holy Spirit produces good fruit. And people see that. People all around you see that. This is the way an ambassador lives. And it's often something that's very attractive, although to some people it's going to look weird. I hope you look weird because you're different from the world. And for a lot of people, it's going to be convicting because they see people living this way. And we say, oh, that's actually how I'm supposed to live, and I'm not living like that. But compare that to the fruit of the flesh right before it, verses 19 to 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the difference between the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The difference between the world and the Spirit. Everyone in here, all of you are producing fruit. All of us do. Question is, what kind? And the Holy Spirit fights that flesh that we struggle with so much. It's the flesh that makes us self-centered. It's the flesh that keeps us wanting our own pleasure and our own glory. And we'll even take those things that the Spirit works in us, as the Spirit works in us to go and to do the things that he's gifted us to do. That flesh then comes in and makes us want to take the glory for it. But that's not how it's supposed to work. We are ambassadors for Christ, who gather, grow, and go by the power of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Our whole purpose in life is to bring glory to God, to experience and enjoy that glory and to reflect his glory wherever we go. None of us is ever supposed to be the source of light. But we reflect the light. The moon, its whole purpose is it reflects the light of the sun. And so we here, we reflect God's glory to this world. And that happens, and you see that as you are living out and becoming the fruit of the Spirit. You're reflecting God's glory wherever you go. We're created to bring him glory, so That's where we're going to find our joy. True and lasting joy, not the fleeting pleasures of the flesh and the world. So go, as we talk about and we try to live out this part of our mission and our strategy, go is a life that is focused on God and His glory by making an impact in this world, by being traders, as we talked about last week, by becoming grace. So I've got questions for you. Do you live your life as if you're on a mission from God? Or are you living more as a consumer? Because this mission that we've been given, this is a balanced mission. It's not all about taking. So I want you to consider a couple of different types of believers. You got the first one that attends like every possible Bible study, and they know scripture, they know theology, and they're memorizing everything. I mean, this would be like top dog in Awana, all right? And they're just rocking all this. They're very biblically and theologically sound, and they're smart, but she doesn't share that experience with others. She doesn't share it with anyone except to make herself look smart or to prove a point or to be right. Then you've got this other one who's always willing to serve and to give to people. They do every service project the church has, and they go and they find more, and they give all the time, and they help everybody that they see. They give to the poor, but just not growing spiritually himself. Both of those ways of living are very unbalanced and very dangerous. On the one hand, you have the danger of arrogance. As the Bible says, knowledge puffs up. But then on the other hand, you've got the danger of being completely misguided and misdirected and going into really just falling away from the faith. We've got to be balanced just like our own bodies. And listen, I want to give full warning here. I'm about to straight just name drop because there's not a whole lot cool about me. So I just got to talk about other cool people that, you know, like the one cool guy I know. All right. So I had this cool experience of getting to sit in a hotel room, huge suite with Tim Tebow at one point. And he had been really busy all day long, so he hadn't eaten a whole lot. So he goes to order room service because I guess the guy's too famous, he can't really go to a restaurant anymore. And he starts ordering from the menu, and I'm looking at the menu as he's ordering. He lists like everything on at least one half of the page. And then he turns and says, "And you guys want anything?" He was not joking. They bring it all and he eats all of this stuff. That dude eats an incredible amount of food. He eats way more than I do or could even imagine trying to put into my body. It is incredible what that guy can put down. And he is, you might notice, in slightly better shape than I am. A little bit too much of a laugh on that one. Well, he also exercises a wee bit more than I do, all right? I think by the end of the day, January 1, he's probably done more exercise than I will do the entire year or decade, potentially. So see, there's a balance there with the way that he lives. You've got to have both the taking in and taking things out. It's the same with our spiritual lives. We have to have that proper diet and exercise, taking in from what the Lord wants to give to us and also exercising. My second question for you is, do you reach out to the world around you, or are you just focusing on people who are like you? And again, I want you to consider two types of, call them Sunday school classes or small groups or even churches. Group A has incredible community. They take care of each other's needs. They really enjoy doing life together and they serve one another. But when it comes to serving outside of the church or outside of their group, they don't really see the point as long as they're taking care of each other. So how are they going to reach the lost to the ends of the earth? How are they going to make new believers? Then consider group B, that they just go out, they serve all the time. They're basically a service group, but they don't have time to meet each other's needs, and they're not caring for one another, and they're not really being fed. So they end up, eventually that group just disbands because what's the point? I can do this stuff on my own. Both of those, again, are unbalanced. We have to take care of ourselves as a church, but we also have to reach the ones who are outside. It's recruiting and training, and that's the entirety of the Great Commission. It all goes together. And do you try to operate on your own power, or do you allow God to shine in your weakness by the Holy Spirit? I personally struggle with trying to do things on my own instead of the Spirit. As I mentioned last week, that is the plague of the Western church in particular, that we think we can go and do things on our own. If we just have the money, we can do it, right? Says something about who our God might be. One of the things I admire most about my wife is that she lets her weakness be known and does that so that she can be a blessing to others. And it does. It has a tremendous impact on other people. And over the years, there have been times that she has been ridiculed for doing that and told you shouldn't share those kind of things with people. But women flock to her. They flock to her for help in following Christ as broken people. Because guess what? We're all broken. She's able to show them that grace. But do you know your gifts? Do you know how the Spirit has equipped you to do the work that the Lord has called you specifically to do? We'd love to help you figure that out. And then with those plug-in cards, if you just kind of write on there, I want to know my spiritual gifts, put your contact information in there. We'll get in touch with you this week if you drop that into the offering plate so that we can help you to know your spiritual gifts and find ways to get plugged in using those. But do you see the fruit of the Spirit? As we talk about the Holy Spirit, do you see His fruit in your life and your actions, or do you see more of the fruit of the flesh? Do you look like the world, or do you look like Christ? I have to confess that in a lot of ways I tend to stray into the flesh, and I need to repent and to be drawn back to the Holy Spirit. But a good measure of really who you're living by and how you're doing kind of at your core, how do you act when you're tired? Or for some of you, how do you act when you're hungry? I was going to ask a question. How many of you were at the mall or around the mall this weekend? But I already know that all of you were, because everybody in Chattanooga and the surrounding area was there, and I took Judith out. Yeah, that's where the fruit of the flesh comes out, right? Ask the people who know you best where you lack the fruit of the Spirit and confess that to the Lord. We're going to talk more about confession tonight. Finally, do you live for your own glory and pleasure, or are you living for the Lord's? And that one's difficult for me too, because I desire recognition for myself sometimes rather than seeking God's glory. And it's a question of heart motivation, of your intention, and of your focus. So where is your focus? I've done some performance driving classes and motorcycle safety classes, and one thing they're always going to tell you in those things is that you are going to go, the vehicle is going to go where you look. So on the racetrack, you often end up looking out the side windows because of very sharp turns, and you're going to end up going where you're looking. It's the same way in your spiritual life. In the motorcycle, you're going down the road, you start staring off to the side of the road, and eventually you're going to run off the road. And spiritually, when you take your eyes off the kingdom, you're eventually going to run off to the side of the road. When you start staring at the things of this world, that's where you're going to head. Where is your focus? Last week, I challenged you to evaluate your spiritual impact in everyday life. And the Lord spoke to me. I believe the Spirit was showing me some things too for myself, reminding me how missional, just, you know, we've got this foster child. And so I was reminded just of how missional that can be to have that child in our home. And yes, it's something that we're doing because we have, yes, a love for children, but then a desire for children. But it's something that we're able to use for God's glory. And so for many of you, I'd encourage you that as you saw in Grace on the Go this morning, mark down that foster and adoption conference that's coming up. It'll give you all kinds of answers to some of those questions that you might have. So I'd encourage you to be a part of that. I also realize, though, that by having this little guy in our home, brings up missional opportunities of its own. Because right now, people stare at him all the time and ask questions about him. And so we get to build relationships with people or at least start conversations. My goodness, adoption? We're adopted children of the King and Creator of the universe? Yeah, that opens some doors up. But for all of us, if you have children, the soccer game, the baseball game, whatever it may be, you know, the recitals, those are opportunities to meet other people and to make those gospel relationships. But the Lord also showed me that I need to be praying more about making missional opportunities out of my hobbies, out of the things that I enjoy doing. One of the things I've really wanted to do, and it hasn't gone as far as I had hoped, but you know, getting into using that kind of cycling as a way to reach other people. I've made some efforts, but I know that I need to do more on that as the spring comes. We've got a group here that's considering getting into something called the Chump Car World Series. And it's just cheap racing, and it's all, you know, on fun racetracks and this kind of stuff. But I realized too that that's something that we can use to draw in people to this group. They may not want to come and hang out at church, but by golly, they'll come and build a car with us or go race it, right? Or when we get on the track, the opportunities that we can have with some of those guys there. So it's the same for you. What has the Lord shown you? Well, I was also convicted that I haven't gotten as connected to some of my neighbors as I had hoped by this point. We're already way far ahead of where we were by this point in our previous home, and we've got some incredible people in our neighborhood. But it's so easy to lose focus and just get focused on getting the house together and just relaxing after a busy day of work. So I know that I've got to be more intentional about getting out and meeting these people, because I don't have non-believers at work, right? So I hope. Right? So my challenge to you this week, taking those prayers and kind of considering those, is just to continue praying, or start praying if you didn't do it last week, about those opportunities that you have in everyday life. But now what I want you to do is go and share. Hey, just did that. All right. Go and share what the Lord's telling you. Share it with a mentor, with your Sunday school class, with your grace group, or some close friends, and actually make an action plan. And ask those people to hold you accountable. The cool thing is, when you do that, you're probably going to inspire them too. That's part of how we spur one another on to love and good deeds. If the Lord's shown you something in this past week about, you know, how you can use something in your life to be more missional, in just a second, I'm going to be standing up here with a couple other folks in some of the corners of the balcony. I would love for you to come and share that with me, so that, or with any of us up here, so we can pray with you about that. And if you want to, we'll let the church know so they can be praying. We're not going to force you to do that, but we'll let the church know if you want to, so they can be praying for you as well. You know, even though we're all created to live on a mission for God, we're all created to go, There's no amount of serving and giving and going that can earn you salvation. And we talked about what that salvation is earlier. But Christ alone brings that salvation. Salvation from sin, salvation from eternal punishment, from what you may have heard of as hell. And the great thing is that God offers us that salvation at no cost to us. He does offer that to us at an incredible cost to Him. That's the message that we're called to spread, to be ambassadors for, to be reconciled to God. And if you have never entered into that salvation and that relationship with Jesus, again, we're going to be standing here at the front and at the corners of the balcony. And as we sing, just come and tell me, because we want to introduce you to that salvation, to our Savior. We are here for you too. Come and grab one of us in the front, or someone else that you trust as we sing. I'll pray, we'll stand and sing, and that's your time to do whatever the Lord is calling you to do. Let's pray. Father, I am both thankful and sometimes scared that I am called to go, and that we're all called to go. So God, I pray that you would keep that desire in our hearts, that you would grow that desire to go. God, I pray that you would show us how we're gifted to go. God, I pray that you would use us and that you would be glorified. God, that our baptistry would be filled constantly, because, God, you are blessing other people through your work in and through us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would continue to partner with us to go. And we ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
All that I have. Everything.
We're going to take a seat, Grace. It is time to give, and a wonderful way to continue our praise and worship and giving. And visitors, all we're asking from you is that info card that's in the bulletin so we can connect with you and just say thanks for coming and get you some info about the church. But for others, maybe, you know, you just weren't up for coming down to talk to somebody just yet. But the Lord maybe is laying something on your heart about being missional in everyday life. Or maybe you need this salvation. You want the salvation from sin and from death. Just weren't ready to come now. There's a place on that plug-in card, that information card, that you can mark for that. Put your contact information on you, and we will connect with you about that this week. And just drop that in the plate as it comes by. Also, want to give a reminder that all of the undesignated offerings—that's all of kind of the loose cash, the unmarked checks, and things without envelopes—that's all going to the Broyles today. If you want to give to them in that way, so let me pray for our offering time, and we'll continue in worship as we give. Lord, we thank you that we can give, and I pray that today in particular, while we put things in an offering plate, I pray that it is, as we give, vastly more than just dropping things into a plate, but God, that it is giving of the resources that you have allowed us to use, but giving our whole lives to you. And I pray that this truly is a time to give. May you take and use all of this for your glory by your Holy Spirit. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Grace, it's time to go.